All right, y'all, welcome back. Welcome back to another episode of Hashtag CB99 Talks. It's episode 153. Of course, I'm Combo Breaker 99. All right, y'all, back with another one. Doing this one as a pre-record, just so y'all know. But y'all know what to do. You know, I like to talk in the chat anyway. So y'all keep it going in there, and y'all can just leave your comments. And like usually, you know, if I have time, I'll go back and look through and rewatch the stream. But yeah, man, we back with another one, y'all. Definitely had to come back on here and talk about some more WMMA, you know, just some of the fights that I missed, you know. Like when I first started this channel, I used to cover a lot of LFA and Cage Fury, but I just didn't have a lot of time. But I've been doing that a little bit more now. So, you know, I had to come back and get my 2 cents on LFA 182 this past Friday. So got to cover that. I got to cover that card. Well, you know, the women's fights. There was two good fights on there. All right. So, yeah, just a few things I want to talk about tonight. This ain't going to be no long show today. So, yeah, first off, I want to kick it off with some LFA talk, LFA 182. And I wanted to kind of go back in on Karim Silva a little bit. You know, a couple of things that y'all was talking about in the chat that I didn't really get a chance to address towards the end of the live. So I want to talk about that a little bit. And some of y'all asked me about Ketlin Vieira, you know, and her call out of Kayla Harrison. So I want to speak on that because, you know, I went back and listened to her interview. And this is probably the most fired up I ever seen Ketlin Vieira, you know. So let's talk about that. And Andrea Lee and Montana De La Rosa haven't really discussed it yet over here. So I wanted to talk about that flyweight fight and maybe some other things too when I'm wrapping this thing up. We'll see how much time I got. But yeah, man. Jumping back Friday, man. Friday was a good card, man, for LFA 182, man. The card overall, you know, I didn't get a chance to watch all of it, but I had to go back and watch, you know, the women's fights. The first one on this card. Well, you know which one we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about this one I got pictured right here, but we got to go back and talk about this because they both were good finishes. All right, this flyweight fight here between Cheyenne Bowers and Naomi Young. I've seen these two fighters before. Naomi Young fought in Combate a few times, you know, coming up short, more of an outside striker, but still needs to kind of work on her takedown defense and ground game. Cheyenne Bowers. You know, this girl right here, I see some potential in her. Like, I'm not going to jump the gun and say, okay, she UFC ready. But at 4-1, I'm seeing, you know, some good promising things from this girl. You know, she's a strong fighter, strong wrestler, good offense. You know, the way she throws her strikes, you know, she'll throw her strikes to get on the inside. She's taking her head off the line, too. That aggression, man, like, that physicality too of Bowers, man, like at flyweight, she would definitely be a force to be reckoned with. So I'm keeping my eye on this girl right here. At 4-1, you know, she's lost her first fight in you know, in professional MMA, but since then, you know, she's just going on a good little win streak. Beat Alex Pieta's sister. Y'all know what's her name? Aline Pieta, you know, they were already kind of pushing her as the next big thing. But hey, you see, hey, Muay Thai or whatever, kickboxing, you see that whole world is different in MMA because Aline Pieta, she's already 1-2. You know, she's already 1-2 now because they were kind of pushing her hard. But she's got to come up the same way. You know, she saw that Cheyenne Bowers ain't playing. And this girl, she has a good wrestling base, overall, just good physical strength. You know, tough and durable. You know, this fight with Naomi Young, Cheyenne Bowers, she scored a second round TKO. I mean, she went in there and imposed her will. You know, she was really putting the pressure on Naomi Young in this fight. I like how she would clinch. When she would clinch, you know, she was landing some vicious knees to the body, getting that takedown. The first round, she was really just like out wrestling Naomi Young in the cage. Good hand control where she would separate Naomi Young's hands, grabbing the wrists, and then she would knee her up the middle to the body, taking her down. and, you know, getting that full mount, finishing the first round with heavy ground and pound. Then the second round, man, like, she was just the overall better fighter from the outside and inside. You know, she was controlling with some kicks, left hands from a distance. She hurt Naomi Young a couple of times with some harsh strikes from the outside, closed that distance again, and just took Naomi Young down once again and was trying to get the back, but just transitioned to a full mount and finished her off at the end of the second round with some heavy ground and pound. So I was impressed with Cheyenne Bowers, man. Like, I like what I see from her. I think with how she's moving, I want to see her challenge for the flyweight belt and just continue to build off of that. Because what I'm seeing from her, man, like, with her base and her style, it's definitely going to be UFC friendly. But just so she's not, just to make sure she's not like a crowd favorite fighter and she could be like champion, I'd want to see her build first, like work on her defense a little bit more, which is there. You know, she does take her head off the line, which is good. I like to see her, you know, grab the belt from LFA and maybe do some other things first and then, you know, try to get signed to the UFC. But you know how they do, man. The UFC, they're going to be looking. They're going to try to get her on. They're going to try, might try to sign her earlier. But I think Cheyenne Bowers needs to fight for this belt and make a big statement that way. You know, make a big statement first with becoming an LFA championship champion first. Yeah, good fight, though. Y'all check that out. It's on the YouTube prelims of LFA. Y'all ain't going to be disappointed with that one if you're a WMMA fan. All right, so hold on, here we go. Oh man, and y'all know this is the one I know y'all want to hear me talk about. Like, I should have talked about it Saturday, man, because this was a crazy one. Just, you know, the outcome of it, and that's how viral it's been as far as MMA knockouts, period. You know, not just women, but period, man. Like, this was a crazy one, but I had to come on and talk about it. It's like, this ain't no WMMA channel if I don't talk about this fight. Strawweight fight, Kendra McIntyre versus Katarina Ligureta. All right. Just so y'all know what I'm talking about right there. This fight. If y'all don't know McIntyre Ligureta, this is the fight I'm talking about. By now, everybody knows this fight, so I had to put this still up here. McIntyre, man. Vicious, brutal third round head kick KO over Ligureta right here, man. I mean, this was sick, and it's definitely looking like KO over the year for not just women, but maybe MMA period, man. Like, we only four months deep into 2024, and this was already looking like the knockout right here. I mean, this knockout right here, as soon as that kick landed to the chin, every bit of her soul left her body, man, and she just fell into a crumpled pile. If y'all haven't seen it yet, I put the link to the finish in the community post. If y'all ain't seen it, y'all need to check it out. I would love to put the replay up, but, you know, now UFC Fight Pass and them do. You can't put footage up there, so maybe we'll sneak it in somehow, but... Y'all know how to find it. Y'all can find everything else viral, so find this one. But yeah, man, Kendra McIntyre, Katarina Ligureta, this fight here, it was very one-sided. When I heard people talking about it at first, they were saying, because, you know, I didn't get a chance to watch it live. I had watched it maybe like a few hours later. You know, some people saying this was like an action-packed fight, so I was expecting like some back-and-forth action between these two. You know, I thought it was going to be back and forth, round by round, where they were just both exhausted, you know, going back and forth, close rounds. But man, like, Kendra McIntyre, this girl, she's still on the come up. She's 3-1 now, only 28 years old. She was putting on a clinic of all kinds on this Ligureta, man. Ligureta was, I don't know what her game plan was, maybe just to come in and make for an exciting fight. I mean, she came in 2-0. So I'm thinking maybe, okay, like, maybe they're trying to give McIntyre a little test and vice versa. But for McIntyre, it was a test, you know, fighting somebody that likes to swarm and come forward and put on a lot of pressure. And she handled that well. She passed it. Number 100% came out number one. You know, she passed it. But Legarreta, on the other hand, like, I don't know what their game plan was just to come in and lead with their face and hope to swarm, because she didn't really have a takedown game plan. All right. She wasn't really fighting behind long shots and swarming and landing any power shots. She was smothering her own attack against McIntyre. So from round one, McIntyre was just playing the matador, you know, cracking her with 1-2s, simple 1-2s, crack her 1-2s from the outside. And every time she stepped in, I love how McIntyre would just grab that head and have that wrestle control. And she was just tossing her around. So McIntyre was strong, better from the outside, stronger on the inside, just turning this girl, ragdolling her. Like, every time she would try to step in, she would just literally toss her by the head to the ground, you know, just tossing her around in here. So combine that, you know, getting hit in the face and getting tossed around, you're getting worn down, you know. So McIntyre put on a really good striking clinic the first round, you know, just consistent with her 1-2s, doing what was working, you know, heavy kicks, heavy knees on the inside, just owning it from anywhere Legarreta wanted to fight. McIntyre was on it. She was on it. She was owning her. Second round, I like how McIntyre slowed the pace down and turned into a grappler and was just vicious with her takedowns. I mean, she was ragdolling Legarreta, picking her up, slamming her, and just controlling her from the half guard and just smothering her and putting a lot of pressure on. Legarreta got up at the end of the round smiling, you know, just taking this beating. But I mean, hey, I don't know what the game plan was, but it wasn't working. So third round, Legarreta want to come in there, still leading with her face, you know, got that big smile on her face. I know she likes to fight, but she was getting teed off on again, picked apart. McIntyre just cracking her with them 1-2s, hit her with a few good shots to the body, caught her with one head kick. I believe she got a mouthpiece knocked out too. Yeah, she did get a mouthpiece knocked out in the third round. Then she got caught with one head kick and smiled. And I'm like, okay, here it comes. McIntyre creates that distance right there, like you see, getting close to the back of the cage. I believe Legarreta threw like a left or a right and dropped her hand, smiling. So McIntyre, she throws her own right, comes back with his left head kick, and boom, she crumbled. That was it. And it looked like she was smiling when she went down. So it was like, okay, like, she out. At least she went down smiling. You know, I was like, wow, vicious, man. But whew, the way she went down, go back and look at it, y'all. That was killer. I mean, this one was even sicker than like Emily Ducote knocking out Danielle Taylor on the feet. You know what I mean? Like, that was a stunning knockout where she just knocked her out. She was just standing there like Mortal Kombat or something. But this one here, man, when she kicked her, she was just gone. There was no stumbling back. There was no stiffness like when Johnny Walker got knocked out, right? This one, like, she crumbled. The kick took everything out of her body. Like, that's how it was. That was vicious, man. But, yeah, definitely candidate for, like, KO of the year for women. Good fight. Still from both fighters. Well, you know, there's definitely still going to be something both fighters have to prove to, you know, get to a belt or something. But yeah, I definitely want to see Kendra McIntyre. She passed this test at 3-1. So moving on from here, you know, this is like her third fight in LFA. You know, she's won her first fight in Invicta FC. You know, I think she's on a good path to kind of go back and forth between Invicta FC, LFA. So I want to see her do either one, you know, go to Invicta FC. Maybe fight Danny McCormick over there for the belt, or stay over here in LFA and fight for a belt. Either one's good for her. But as for Katarina Legarreta, I mean, that's her first loss. I mean, that's definitely going to be an eye-opener for her. You know, she's only, what? I don't see her age up here. I don't have her age listed. But this type of fight is definitely going to wise her up, man. Like, defense. Some defense is something they weren't working on, man. And she needs it big time. Like, kind of reminded me like a Casey O'Neill style, you know, where she was coming forward with a lot of volume, man. You know, she was coming forward a lot of volume and just kind of leading with her face, looking for that type of fight. But she just didn't have that takedown plan. Like, she didn't have that type of grappling in her mind. I don't know if she just wanted to fight. And there still has to be some science behind fighting, you know. You just can't go in there leading with your face, man. So, yeah, good fight. Good fight. Both fights on LFA were solid. Let me know if y'all saw them. If you haven't, just pull them up. Just pull them up. They free. I know the Bowers and Naomi Young fight was free. It's on YouTube. Yeah. So, yeah, going back to last weekend, I wanted to jump on this again. I know we talked a little bit about it last night, but looking forward now and moving forward now with the flyweights and these two flyweights, y'all know Karen Silva and Ariane Lipsky. I just wanted to say this, man. Like, I know we were all I won't say all, because this competition gets stiff, you know, fights get harder, but I know the majority were expecting Karen Silva to get a finish and or look dominant and make this thing, you know, as one-sided as possible if there was no chance to get a finish. But to me, I still think Karen Silva is a threat. You know, she definitely still is a threat. Like, she's still a threat to anybody else in this division. But just because it didn't go this way in one fight doesn't mean that's going to be the same way in another fight. Now, I do agree that there is some things that she has to work on. And we know that's with every fight. Every fighter, you know, they always have to work on something. But I think with Lipsky, going back and looking at the fight again, I think with Ariane, it was the fact that they knew the danger. So with her particular style, that's what they worked on as far as her defense. You know, they wanted to take this approach to be a little bit more defensive minded on the ground, but it might not be that way with the next person. The next person might say, oh, I'm just as good on the ground, or my jiu-jitsu is just as solid, and they could leave themselves open, you know? So I think Lipsky's takedown defense and her ground defense just made it that much harder for Karen Silva, right? So yeah, after looking at that performance again, you know, I got to say, you know, Karen Silva is still a threat. I think she's still a threat. Like, I'm not going to say, okay, this girl is overrated or she'll start losing to everybody now. No, like, how? Like, she won every single round in this fight. She didn't crumble. She didn't show any signs of frustration. She showed signs of fading a little bit, but with that comes with the territory of stepping out of your comfort zone. That's what you do. Like, it was a blessing for her to fight a 3-round fight. Like, it was probably better that she didn't finish Lipsky, because as she gets higher and higher, she's going to be fighting longer fights. You know, she's going to be fighting more than 3 rounds and maybe from a 5-round fight, you know. So having to go 3 with Lipsky, I think, benefited her more than getting her out of there in 1, because now she knows that these girls that are bigger, they're stronger, these girls are better takedown defense, they're gonna be harder to get out. They're gonna be harder to get out of this. So I gotta be stronger. I gotta pace myself now, right? So moving forward, like, she had the fight under control, right? Until the 3rd round. Like I said, I give Lipsky the 3rd round, but she still had the mind frame to stay in control of the fight and win the fight. And that's what's important as you get higher. You know, your IQ has to advance. You got to do that. You know, I think Silva did a good job of that, but I want to see more improvement as far as pacing herself and not throwing as many heavy shots. Looking for her range with her jab more instead of just those hard front face kicks, soccer kicks, right? You know, I think getting into that habit is going to leave her open for counters. You know, surprisingly, Lipsky didn't get any of those counters on her. So I think that's important. Yeah, Karen Silva just needs to really make sure that they slow that pace down a little bit, because the girls aren't going to be getting taken out like that. you know, when she starts fighting the girls that get on the ground with her, like Erin. You know, if she has to fight Erin Blanchfield, that's going to be a good fight. You know, Erin's jiu-jitsu is solid. You know, she might not be submit. Well, I won't say she might not be submitting the same way, but I'd be wrong if I said that in a way, right? Because she did submit at least what three out of three of her fights that she's won in the UFC. You know, Erin did get some submissions. So yeah, Erin's good. Like Erin's mindset is more MMA than it is just pure jiu-jitsu now. But I'm sure that when she takes on Kareem, she's going to be well aware of what's going on. So that's going to be a good competitive fight. That'll be a fight to make Kareem wake up. Any fight at the top five or top six is going to be a fight to make Kareem wake up and say, okay, like, let me slow it down and not expect to finish. And I think she did that anyway. You know, I think that's the mindset she had, because in the pre-fight interview, she did say, hey, I'm ready to go 1, 2, or 3. She was ready to go 1, 2, or 3. She wasn't necessarily looking for it. So I think with that mindset, it's going to make her a threat to whoever's holding the belt or whoever's in the top five, but it's still going to take some time to work. Because a threat doesn't mean, oh, that means, oh, that person going to just knock them out or take them out in the first round. It's a threat to that person's throne, meaning they could just beat them. You know, they could be the smarter fighter and become the complete fighter and beat them, right? So, yeah, Kareem Silva definitely still on her way up. Got another victory. She got 30-27. That still says, yeah, you know, she's still going to be that fighter that could go in there and dominate your number six and number seven and fight her way to a title shot pretty soon, right? Lipsky, on the other hand, ain't nothing to be ashamed of for, you know, for her. I think Ariane Lipsky, you know, just needs to kind of, I think, wake it up with her offense, be a little bit more assertive with it. I think with them last three victories, I won't say she got comfortable. Maybe she was expecting that Kareem would leave herself a little bit more open, but she's got to go look for it too now. You know, she's got to look for that finish, you know, and she's got to be more confident to say, okay, like, I can step in this zone and I can take over and make Kareem not want to take me down. That's what I think Lipsky needed in this fight. You know, Lipsky had to be first and close that distance and hurt Silva a couple of times with some shots to make her not want to shoot for it like that. But that'll come with time. You know, Lipsky, I think her last three victories, those were good fights on a resume. Beating Gatto, JJ Aldrich, Casey O'Neill just shows you that, yeah, she is still a good addition to the top 15. Maybe take one step down fight. Maybe her and Miranda Maverick, that's a good fight. But, you know, Miranda, she's also improving, so I don't know. Like, that's a good one. You know, if Miranda stays out of that range and she's been working her striking and she takes Lipsky down, Lipsky could have problems there. But if she gets Miranda's respect on the feet with the power, we'll see. But, you know, Miranda has a good chin. And Miranda's got a good chin, and she's been eyeballing her range pretty well in her last few fights. You know, the way she stayed out of the way of the big shots of Cachoeira, Andrea Lee, you know, she can take a shot too. You know, she can take a shot. So that would be a good one. That would be a good fight. Lipsky versus Maverick. That's one I'd like to see next. But as for Silva, like I said, Ibas, Chikagian, Cortez, any of those fights are good. I think Cortez is a little closer down to the bottom. So that would kind of be like her fighting one step at a time for Silva. Because, yeah, I think, yeah, Tracy Cortez, that probably wouldn't be fair to Kareem Silva. Maybe let her step it up a little bit more, because she just fought Lipsky, who was 12. And then what? He took the 12 spot. Then you got to fight the number 11 again. So you got to fight one step up again. Like, maybe, yeah, she does deserve to fight at least three or four up. Like, Chikagian, or let me see, three up, which is Ibas. You know, one of them names right on the edge of the top 10 would be good for her. Yeah. So, yeah, I still like what Kareem Silva was doing. I wanted to see her have to get tested at some point, and I wanted to see what she would look like in the second or third round. I would love to see that finishing streak continue, you know, because that would say a lot too. That would scare more. I think that would make the stock a little bit more scarier there, to make us say, okay, yeah, like she's still that type of problem, but she still is a problem, you know, for the top 7-8 as far as being, you know, a complete fighter. You know, still some things to work on, but I think, yeah, she'll be there at some point. All right. Sticking with flyweight, though, let's run through this one a little bit. I want to talk about this fight a little bit. I know we haven't discussed it over here, but got another rematch coming up here. And I say another because I think of that Rodriguez-Waterson rematch, which wasn't really a necessary rematch. And what was that other one? Molly McCann and Diana Belbita. And, some of these rematches, they don't happen. Ain't like they throw it at us too often, but there's been some unnecessary ones. But let me see. When does this one take place? Yeah, this is the Louisville, Kentucky one in on the Canyoneer card. Okay. Yeah, June 8th. You got Andrea Lee and Montana De La Rosa. They're running it back. This is a rematch to their first fight, which is what, like 6 years ago? About 5 years ago. Yeah, about 5 years ago, 2019. Yeah, they fought 5 years ago, 2019. I think I picked Montana in that one, which I don't, at the time, I don't know why, because, you know, I've seen, you know, I'd been watching Andrea Lee, what she was capable of. Maybe it was the fact that, again, even then, at that time, I'd seen like how Andrea Lee is with certain fights. Like even in that first fight, she fought with Roxy, right? So I was kind of giving Montana that. I was giving her that edge at the time because I said, okay, maybe this girl is on something. Like she's tough, durable. Maybe her wrestling will give her problems. But Andrea Lee was having a time with her jab in that fight. You know, she was landing on Montana. You know, she was doing some damage to that nose again. But Andrea Lee, I was in like a position to almost get submitted by Montana, I believe, in that third round. I have to go back and watch it. But I'm going to have to, go back one day and, you know, kind of look at that one and see how far they fell from that fight. Because that's what this fight kind of is to me. Like, my thoughts on this, I think it'll be entertaining in a way. You know, it's going to be entertaining because there's going to be blood in this fight. I definitely see blood in this fight, but this is more of to see who can hold on to their job at this point. Like I say, this rematch is loser leaves town. I think I really do. I think it's that, you know, it's the harsh reality, but Andrea Lee is on a 4-fight losing streak, right? Let's double check here. Hold on. Yep. Andrea Lee is on a 4-fight losing streak. Before that, she was on a 2-fight winning streak. Before that, she was on a 3-fight losing streak. So in her last 4, 7, 8, 9 fights, she's 2-7. All right. Last 9 fights, she's 2-7. Then you got Montana. Oh, man. She's on a 3-fight losing streak. Before that, she won 1. Before that, she lost. Before that, she had another win, and then she had that loss to Andrea in the past 5 years. So let's look at Andrea Lee's last 9 fights. All right. 4. Okay, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Andrea Lee actually at least has 3 wins. She has 3 wins, 2, 4. She's 3, 6, and 1. So that's her last 10 fights, right? What is it? 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So, oh, never mind. No, she's not 3. She's her last 7 fights. She's 2, 6, and 1. Yeah, 2, 6, and 1. All right. Yeah. So Lee De La Rosa 2 is going to be loser leaves town type of situation. All right. It is that type of situation, y'all. That's the harsh truth, but it is. Andrew Lee is 2-7. Montana is 2-6-1. Okay. So on paper, when you see it, that's just how you got to look at this situation. That's what it is. I mean, it's just the truth. When you look at Andrea Lee and how she moves without seeing the resume, you would think that, okay, this girl probably is like a top 7, top 8 fighter, you know? That's usually how it is. Like, some people ask me, how good is Andrea Lee? Well, like, what's your thoughts? When I'll be like, oh, well, you know, she's got this and that. Like, she has certain tools, but to see her perform, it's like a different thing, man. Like, it's like Andrea Lee mentally checks out sometimes. You know, Andrea Lee just don't seem like she's in the fight. Every fight I've seen, you know, so it makes me hard to pick her in there. Again, she's got them tools. Like, when you look at her, just first look, physique, stance, form, the accomplishments, you would think, okay, this girl, yeah, is in the top 10 and she's winning. Oh yeah, this girl has the length, size to beat some of these girls, which she does. Like, when you first see her, you say, okay, this girl is strong, she's got long, tall, she's got all of these good things physically that you would say could handle fighters like Chikagan. Oh yeah, she could outbox and maybe pick apart Jessica Andrade if she fought her. Oh yeah, she could be tough for Erin Minone, like, because look how long she is and how she could be using her height. But when she actually performed, it's a different story. That's what I'm saying. You see, there's levels. Like Erin, look how Erin fights, and then look how Andrea Lee fights. There's just a difference there, and it's always kind of been like that. That's why Andrea Lee, at this point, it is that. Like, whoever loses it, unfortunately, they're gonna be cut. For Montana's always kind of been the same way. Like, I'm gonna say, like, Montana, like, mentally checks out a fight. I think it's just like a lack of confidence there. Like, for Montana will have certain things in a fight, but she won't fully commit all the time. And again, like, if the fighter or the trainer was to say anything, I'm going by what I seen, and I'm going by what the resume says. Because if you did have it, then you'd be where Erin or Minone is right now. I would say, okay, look, Erin won 6 in a row. She can work on this, but she's got this about her. Right. But when I'm looking at this resume and then I'm saying what I actually see, now it's not to bash somebody. I mean, the evidence is here, because I can say, hey, I'm one of the ones that had a pick on Montana and against Maisie Barber. Now, I didn't bet on her. I'm just saying, like, I thought Montana had what it takes and the tools to beat Maisie Barber, and I was wrong. You know, didn't think she would beat Tatiana Suarez, but again, like, that's her division. She's the 125 pounder. She had the advantage. She was the more active fighter. She's been in there long enough to work on her boxing and her striking to control Suarez on the feet. But again, she fought Suarez's fight, lost. Lose to JJ Aldridge, you know? Only victory she had again was the Lipsky fight and the Marmarera-Barella fight. So, yeah, just looking at it and, you know, studying them, and you say, well, this is what I'm seeing throughout 9 fights between the two of them. Can't help but say, man, like, they haven't exceeded in their fights or even tried. That's why it is a loser leaves town type situation. It just is. With that, I'm hoping for a good fight between the two. I'm hoping that somebody can break their losing streak and prove why they still belong. But even with that, man, I think whoever wins, it's not like they're going to be ready to go back into the top 15. You know, like, say if Montana does destroy Andrea Lee or dominate Andrea Lee, I don't think that means Montana's going to be challenging Jazzy Vicious anytime soon, or Tracy Cortez, and that doesn't tell me they're going to win. You know, but same with Andrea Lee. Like, Andrea Lee wins this fight, it's just enough to stay afloat, but she will still have to fight some of the other girls to maybe pull a Carolina Kovacevic or something, you know, to go on a win streak like that. You know, let's see who out of these two, you know, that's the thing. Like, let's see out of these two, who can pull off the Carolina Kovacevic. You know, Carolina Kovacevic, she woke up, man. Like, she lost five in a row and said, you know, what's going on? Let's see if Andrea Lee or Montana does that in this fight. All right. So I'm not even going to really like break this thing down on that level. I just wanted to kind of talk about it at this point because we all know what they possess. The question is, are they going to use those tools that they possess? Because this is their last go around, y'all. This is it. All right. But let me know what y'all think on that. Okay. All right. So our last topic I wanted to jump on here. Let's see. Last topic. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, there it is. Ketlyn Vieira calling out Kayla Harrison. We kind of discussed this, you know, little sprinkles here and there. You know, just a little sprinkle here and there wherever it comes up. But the more and more I look at this thing, I'm like, man, like, this is really crazy. Like, this is like the opposite of what you expect right now is going on. Like, as soon as Kayla Harrison got into the division, I haven't heard too many voices. Like, I haven't heard too many voices, like, from the people you expect to hear from. Instead, you hear from Ketlyn. And Ketlyn, everybody knows her as kind of being like low key, you know, because she had a fight scheduled with Macy Chase on and that didn't happen. And I know Macy was a little disappointed in that, which I would be because that kind of kept her out of the mix for like 2 years. So, you know, Macy Chase on's upset about that. There's just been a lot of other talk going on as far as people taking over since Amanda's gone. But soon as Kayla came around, only person I really heard say anything was, you know, Ketlyn Vieira. You know, Ketlyn is the only one that's been saying, yo, like, you gotta go through me. And she made the statement that the Kayla Harrison fight was offered to her and she wanted it for UFC 303. But apparently Kayla Harrison doesn't want it. But let me pull it up here. She said, okay, let me pull up the article. All right. It was like a few days ago and I wanted to run through this thing. But Ketlyn Vieira said she might be the shiny new toy, but just like any toy, she needs to be played with and tested. Even Julianna Pena, she hasn't fought for 2 years. She isn't deserving of the title. She isn't deserving of the title shot. I was offered the Harrison fight for June 29th. I said yes, and then they still didn't give it to me. I'm not happy at all. All right. So that first part right there, I mean, there is some truth to that, right? Like, when you're talking title shot, really, who is deserving of it? Julianna Pena's been out for 2 years. Is it wise for her to jump in there? Is it fair for her to jump in there for a title shot after 2 years? Not really, right? It wouldn't be good for her too, because let's be real, you know, she just had a rib injury and she's rusty, right? That would mess up her chances. So yeah, she's not really deserving of it right now in that. And then, like I said, with Kayla Harrison just fought in April and having an easy time with Holly Holm, only going two rounds, I would like to see her come back in June. And if it was going to be somebody, if it could be somebody, you know, a little bit higher, I would love the Norma Dumont fight. Don't get me wrong. Chase Song would be a good fight too. But if it is going to be somebody higher and not for the belt, why not Ketlyn Vieira? You know, Ketlyn is what? Let me see. Number two now. Yeah. So Kayla Harrison is number four. And with Julianna Pena still out, Ketlyn's number two. So that would be a good fight because Myra Buena Silva and Macy Chase aren't going to fight. So number 3 and 7, that's good. But for Ketlyn Vieira, this would be a good fight for her. And for Kayla, it would be a good fight, you know, because I'm not one to want to see her just go ahead and get the Rocky Pendleton fight. Because Rocky's supposedly, I heard Rocky Pendleton's injured. Rocky ain't coming back till like November, December. So in the meantime, Kayla versus Ketlyn is a good fight. Kayla's only fought two rounds, you know, so she should be ready to go again. And I think the only thing that'd be hard would probably be the weight cut again, depending on her body feels, but even then, well, it's only two months past. She'd be all right, right? So Kellen made the statement that she said the fight was offered to her, but they still didn't give it to her. So I'm assuming that, yeah, Kayla Harrison turned it down. Because if the matchmakers gave it to her for 303 and Kellen says yes, then everything should be a go, right? Kellen versus Kayla. But I'm guessing that Kayla turned the fight down. So I could understand why she's not happy. Like, Kellen at number two could argue that, hey, let me just go ahead and get the title shot now since Pena's out. She could make that argument, but she said, hey, if I got you, I'll fight Kayla Harrison. She was willing to fight her. She said, hey, you got to get dirtied up. You know, you just got here, so you got to go through me. That's kind of how she's been putting it. All right. So she said, it seems that Kayla is just not taking the fight. If the UFC offered a fight, the UFC wants to fight. It's just Kayla not taking it, basically, right? In the UFC, there's only great athletes, and she thinks she's going to say no to this fight, take an easier fight. There is no easier fights. We're all very good athletes. She has to stop running and take the fight and sign the contract, all right? She said, my name's not GDR or Juliana Pena, so I don't pick fights. At the same time, I know that I need to go up. I'm going to take any fight that's going to get me to the belt because I know I deserve that belt. I want that belt. Kayla, even though she's someone that's starting in the UFC, it would be a big fight that would bring me the attention to get me to that belt. Okay. I'm looking to fight ranked fighters, increase my ranking, and I've been clear for that date. I said yes to that fight, so I'm ready to fight around that date. But I want a fight that's going to take me to the belt, which is what I deserve. Okay. All right, so, yeah, I mean, Kellen Berry is making some noise now. I think she's tired, man. Like, Kellen Berry, you know, she's had some injuries, and she knows that time is not on her side. Kellen Berry is only, like, 32, so she just may be really hitting that prime. But I think, yeah, she's in a position right now to say, hey, I'll fight Kayla. Like, make it happen now. Like, Kayla Harrison, if that was offer, what's holding it up? And I think we all know the answer is Kayla Harris, right? Because once again, it seems like, you know, even over here, you know, Kayla kind of gets to make those moves and choose what she wants. You know, she left the PFL right when Chris Cyborg got there. Now she's here, wants to go right for the belt, but it can't be like that. Because in the meantime, if Rocky's out, what else is going to happen? You got to fight somebody, right? So Dana should keep the same energy, you know, right? You can't sit out. Like, if there's fights to be made, you can't sit out. I don't like an inactive fighter, right? So I think they should just keep it going. You know, if Kellen wants it and they gave it to her, they tell Kayla Harrison, hey, let's make this fight. You know, you say no, you can't say no because this is our company and you just got here. And the fight you're getting offered could lead to a title shot. So you don't just go get a title shot off Holly Holm, especially if Holly Holm already lost to Kellen Berry. You know, so fight Kellen, who has that victory as well, and just make it easy. Like, if you're that dominant and you are considering yourself to be potential GOAT, you would take this fight, right? And I mean, Kellen sees it that way, that, you know, the UFC, you know, there is no bad fights, best fight the best. And that's how I see it. Like, if you're going for that belt, but the champion's not available, you got to fight him. Like, you see Aaron Minone had to do the same thing, right? Like, they wanted to push this Grasso Shevchenko thing out a little longer to a trilogy. They both got injured. So while they were injured, you know, Aaron Minone had to fight another fight. Even when everybody was making the argument that Aaron deserved it. No, Minone deserved it. They had to buckle down and fight a seventh fight. So for Kayla Harrison, what's it going to hurt to fight a second fight? That's why I disagree with y'all always saying Kayla needs to fight for the belt. Kayla needs to fight for the belt. She just got here. Like, what's one more fight? Everybody else in these other divisions, they got to fight 4 to 5. Flyweight had to fight 7 fights. Macy's next in line fighting 6 fights in a row, you know? So what's it going to hurt? Think it's that shaky? Kayla can't beat her. I mean, if Kayla's got them advantages, I mean, Kayla should have no problem taking Kellen Berry, because I kind of would favor Kayla Harrison right now with her aggression and size and strength. I would probably favor Kayla Harrison a little bit in this fight. So, you know, if Kayla wants it, Kayla, why don't you go ahead and give it to her? Right? That's how I see it. But I mean, that little shot that Kayla Vieira threw, she was like, my name's not GDR, Julianna Pena, so I don't pick fights. Wow. She basically saying, wow. She trying to say they get the pick. She put GDR on blast. I mean, GDR just got back, man. Like, let GDR catch a break, man. GDR just lost to Norman Dumont. And, I mean, if she's talking about that, like, Norma, I mean, Norma is a good return fight for GDR. You know, GDR been out like 4 years. So, you know, she had to fight low, unless she's talking about the Chris Cyborg situation. Maybe Caitlin's referring to that, like, since she didn't fight Chris Cyborg, maybe she's talking about that. But with Julianna Pena, I think she's talking about her not fighting Caitlin and just wanting to go for the belt. So maybe it's that, you know, so I don't know, y'all. I agree with Kaitlyn Vieira on this, though, man. I think Kayla needs that fight. Make it happen. And prove that you want to get to that belt that way. You know, two fights in the UFC, then get the belt. Championship fight. That don't sound bad to me. Not at all. But, yeah, that's pretty much all I got on this one, y'all. It's like, what? Under an hour on this one. And those are just some things I missed earlier this week and this weekend that I wanted to talk about. Like I said, go back and check out that LFA card, catch the women's fights. But yeah, shout out to Kendra McIntyre. That was a good fight, man. That was a good knockout win for it right there. Yeah, I'm gonna play that thing back, man. Again, that was a good fight. But yeah, everything else I talked about, just leave your comments in the comment sections like usual. And make sure you subscribe to the show. Like I said, on these platforms I got on the bottom, I'm going to start back uploading it on these. You know, if y'all want to listen to it on the go and not just on YouTube, and just keep, you know, promoting WMMA like I've been doing. So, yeah. Yeah, this weekend I'll probably jump back online, you know, by Friday or something, or maybe a couple of days to discuss the upcoming fights too. Well, just to fill some of y'all in, yeah, this UFC 301 doesn't look too major to me, but yeah, you got Deon Barbosa versus Ernesta Karakate. She's taking on, oh, you know, those are, Barbosa's taking on a fellow contender series winner in Karakate. That should be a good fight. Barbosa has a win over Karine Silva already. So, you know, that'll be interesting how she makes her way in. Then on the prelims, you got Carolina Kovacevic versus Yasmin Lucindo. Yeah, that's definitely one that, you know, I want to discuss a little bit later this week. But that was all I had for today, y'all. Just wanted to keep this one under an hour and get some WMMA talk with y'all and do most of my talking today, y'all. Can say whatever y'all want in the chat. But yeah, hit that subscribe and hit that like. And continue to support your one-stop spot for some WMMA talk. I'm Combo Breaker 99. I'm out. Subscribe. Peace.